Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul sets forth some very wonderful truths, some wonderful things, wonderful truths and blessings that we have of being in Christ Jesus, blessings of being under the new covenant and the hope that we have under that covenant of salvation from sin, salvation from the slavery of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to always count our blessings and to see the wonderful blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm making plans for my wife, think of about three different series of lessons that I have in mind right now. But one of those might be quite a lengthy series of lessons because I can think of a lot of blessings that we have of being in Christ. We need to see all of those blessings that we have of being in Christ Jesus, the hope that the Christian has. And I'm thinking about in the coming year doing just a series of lessons and seeing all the good things that we have as being Christians and being in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ever be aware of those things and think positive about the hope and the blessings that we have. The world puts us down. Puts Christianity down, puts Christ down. We need to see the hope and blessings that we have in Christ. Would you read together with me about the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 8 for our study together tonight, and encourage you to follow along as we read and study from this tonight. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if ye by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Apostle Paul here distinguishes between two classes of people, between two groups of people, which we might think of as those who believe and are Christians, and on the other hand, those who do not believe. He speaks of those two classes of people as those who are after the Spirit or mind the things of the Spirit, and those that are after the flesh and mind the things of the flesh. Two different groups. Two mindsets, you might say. In verse number 5, he speaks about those who were after the flesh, the King James says there, those who live according to the flesh, he says, set their mind on the things of the flesh. Notice their mind is set on the things of the flesh. They are after the flesh. But on the opposite of those is that other group, those who live according to the spirits, who are after the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So there's two classes or two groups of people that he's talking about here. Now, the believer, the one who is, let me first talk a little bit about the unbeliever. The unbeliever, characterized as being after the flesh, or carnally minded here, as he says in in verse number 6. The literal translation of this could be the mindset of the flesh is death. This word here could have embodied in it the meaning of the one's frame of mind, one's set of mind, referring to the goal of one's mind or the goal of one's thinking. The person whose thinking is according to the flesh, and his goal is the fulfillment of the flesh. His mindset is set upon the flesh. He's after the things of the flesh. That type of a thought pattern leads to death. Cannot be subject to the law of God. Verse 7, the carnal mind, that's this mind that's set on the things of the flesh, living according to the flesh, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, because that mind is set on the things of the flesh. The unbeliever sets his mind out to satisfy the flesh without considering whether that's right or wrong. That's the goal of his mind. And Paul's warning that such a mindset brings spiritual death, separation from God. In verse number 13, he says, if we live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the end of that mindset that's set upon the flesh. Romans 6 and verse 23, he points out that the wages of sin is death. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, back in Acts chapter 5, they received a physical death immediately because of their sins. So sometimes some type of sins that are committed can bring immediate physical death upon people, as it was in that case. Of course, God brought that in special circumstances there. But one cannot seek to satisfy his flesh and his fleshly desires and have the mindset of the flesh and make that his goal and simultaneously at the same time call himself a Christian and be seeking spiritual things. Every one of us have to make a choice. The Lord Jesus Christ said no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. You've got to make a choice. And there are many who set their minds on the fulfillment of the things of this world, the things of that the flesh craves and desires. They cannot be subject to the law of God. They cannot expect at the same time that they live that type of life and make that their goal be a Christian. Now, verses 7 through 9, as we pointed out, that type of thinking, personal, that type of thinking cannot be subject to the law of God. In verse 8, so those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But he says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his, none of his. And so if your mindset is not the mindset of the Spirit there, following the Spirit's instructions and guidance and living according to the Spirit, but rather it's according to the mindset of the flesh, then he says that leads to death. The believer is the other class, or the other group that he speaks of there, those who mind the things of the Spirit. They're characterized as being after the Spirit, the King James says. In a way, that's a good way to characterize it, because they're seeking after the things of the Spirit. Those of the flesh are after the things of the flesh. It characterizes those who are spiritually minded in verse number 6, to be spiritually minded. Again, this same word carries the idea with it of the mindset. And those who set their minds on the spiritual will think on the things of the Spirit and the purposes of the Spirit and seek to do those spiritual things, seek to please God. People do not go after things by impulse, but people seek after those things that's according to their mindset. It's the mind that controls us. If our mind dwells upon things of the flesh, and that's the enjoyment of the pleasures and the things of the flesh is our goal, the goal of our mind, then that's the things we're going to fulfill. It's not just by impulse, but it's usually because that's what the mind is set to seek and to find and to accomplish. Now, he points out here that the Spirit of God dwells in each believer, each one who is after the Spirit. Verse number 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The seeking of the things of the Spirit becomes the controlling force of this person's life, of the believer, of the Christian. And he seeks to fulfill those things and to do those things that would be pleasing to God, pleasing to the Spirit of God. We read over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse number 24, that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. So those who are thinking the thoughts of the Spirit, who think the thoughts of the Spirit, who seek to do His will, the end of the result there we're going to see, and we're going to look about this a little bit in verse number 6, is life and peace. It's the opposite of death. But again, one cannot have the Spirit of God with him and at the same time allow the flesh to have preeminence in his life. These are opposites of one another. One can't be seeking the things of the flesh and the fulfillment of the things of flesh, the pride of life, the things that he beholds with his eyes, all the things of this world. He cannot seek those things and at the same time be seeking to fulfill the desires set forth in God's Word by the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning in verse number 15, the Apostle Paul has just been talking here about pressing toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, the King James says perfect, have this mind. This should be the mind that they should have, seeking for that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says in verse number 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And then skipping on down to verse number 18, he says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, or who mind earthly things, the King James says. And so here he's makes this contrast about those who serve the Lord and those whose mind are set on the things of the Spirit and those whose minds are set on the things of the flesh. He says they mind earthly things. Now, one who then is seeking the things of the Spirit, not going to live a life of sin. He's not going to seek those things of the flesh. It is possible, however, for the flesh sometimes to surface in the life of a Christian. And sometimes the Christian comes under the sway of the fleshly things and begins to think like the people of this world. John speaks about that in 1 John chapter 1, beginning verse 8, where he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we say we have not sinned, he says, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then he says, these things I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if any man sin, he says, and he's addressing this to Christians, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So sometimes the Christian allows the thinking of the flesh to surface But the main goal and the main thought pattern of the Christian is that of seeking the things of the Spirit, fulfilling the teachings of the Lord and living the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse number 3, Paul calls what we might speak of as some immature Christians, they're carnal. Says, for as there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? The word here is that same type of word that's translated is flesh. Are you not as in the flesh or still in the flesh and walk as men? And here this is addressed to Christians in which the fleshly mind and fleshly thoughts had surfaced, and they had begun to follow various men. They were following Paul and Peter and Apollos. They needed to correct this, and that's the object of what he is writing to them. They're walking as men, following various men. And he says, you're yet carnal, meaning that they're still being controlled to a certain degree, still have a fleshly mind in that particular matter, and following the things of the flesh. Now, because of this possibility of the fleshly mind surfacing sometime in the life of the Christian, and we begin to think after the flesh, Paul warns us that we must be perpetually vigilant, perpetually working to renew our minds and to control our thinking by the Spirit of God as we feed from the words of the Spirit here. In Romans 12 and verse number 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, there's quite a lengthy passage there that I invite you to look at. Beginning in about verse number 17, he reminds the Ephesians that they should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Now, that's Ephesians 4, verse 17. He doesn't want them to walk in the futility of their minds. Now, remember, we're talking about the mindset and the mind being set on certain things and certain goals here. And the Gentiles walked according to that mind of fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world. And so he says that you no longer walk that way, writing to Christians, having their understanding darkened, still talking about the Gentiles who have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts. They were ignorant because they had hardened their hearts to spiritual things. That wasn't the goal they were seeking in life. What was most important to them wasn't according to their mindset. And so there was ignorance in them. He goes on talking about the Gentiles who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now this is describing a person of the world, Gentiles in this context here, whose mindset is fulfilling the things of the flesh. But then he says, you have not so learned Christ. Notice, you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in righteousness and holiness. It is by learning, by being taught, by growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. It is through that we feed the mind of the Spirit so that we keep the mind, the thoughts of the flesh under control, so that that thought pattern does not gain control of us as Christians. We, therefore, we put to death the deeds of the Spirit by that process. Notice in verse in our text here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 13, he says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." This deeds of the body, the thought pattern, that thought set, that mindset of the flesh, can be silenced. It can be put to death as the spiritual mind is fed and we feed upon the Word of God, renewing the spirit of our mind, as he says in a couple of passages there which we looked at. Now, there's great blessings in having the right mindset. Notice in verse 5, he says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Life. The first great blessing of the believer whose mind is set on spiritual thing, someone put it, is that life is raised to the highest power now because he now possesses spiritual life. Jesus said, "I've come that men might have life, that they have it more abundantly." It's through Jesus Christ that we have life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's not talking about just mere physical life here. He's talking about a life that transcends that. Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. Apostle Paul said, "For you have died, and your life is hid in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." The Christian has that real life, life which is life indeed. And you might think of some internal fruits or evidences of having that life. Whenever you have that life, Paul speaks about the fact here that one is made free from the bondage of sin. In the 6th chapter, verse number 11, he tells the Romans here, "Reckon yourselves to be dead in a deed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Being in Christ and having that spiritual thought pattern, seeking the things of the Spirit, brings life because we're no longer slave to sin. Now, Paul's just been discussing in the 7th chapter here how that he wanted to do good, but he said every time he wanted to do good, there was at work in his body this other law, this law which he speaks of as the law of sin and death. But he says, now then, one is no longer enslaved to sin. That's been set free from that because of this spiritual thought pattern, because in Christ Jesus he has found this life where there is no condemnation, and he no longer thinks and walks according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, and he's gained real freedom and life. Going along with that, there is a sense in which God has now become the object of his worship. Within the heart of each and every one of us, we crown something to be God. If our thought pattern's according to the flesh, then it's fulfilling the desires of the flesh. If our thought patterns according to the spiritual things, we make God the object of our worship rather than our lustful self. God rules within our hearts. Sin no longer has that dominion over us. And so he says, don't consider yourself a slave to sin any longer. But you've been made free from sin when you obeyed that form of doctrine, he says, which was delivered to you. Chapter 6 and verse number 17. Your Christian has life. This life also results in, and ought to result in, a changed life, a holy life of living. In Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse number 22, he says, "But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness." You're living a life of holiness now, and the end is everlasting life. Christ rules in his heart. And his goal, the Christian's goal, then becomes to live as Christ would live. if Christ were in his body and had control. That should be the goal of each and every one. Everyone who is under the influence, under the sway, and led by the Spirit of God should be seeking to fulfill in his body the life of the Lord Jesus Christ would have him to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Now, this word manifest means to make known, means to show. Is the life of Christ shown in your body? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. It ought to be the goal of each and every Christian, under the control and led by the Spirit of God, to seek to live the life that was just as Christ would live it. And then the Apostle John speaks about the great evidence of having spiritual life within. When he says in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we are under the control of God's Spirit and seeking to do those things, being led by the Spirit, then we're going to seek to love one another. In 1 John 3, verse 14, he says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. There's passing out of death into life. And the scriptures then speak about those whose names are written in the book of life. If we are believers in Christ and our thought pattern is according to spiritual things, then our names are written in the book of life, Revelation 21 and verse 27. But then there's a second fruit that he mentions here, and that's peace. Spiritually minded is life, and it is peace. The wonderful result of a spiritual mindset is peace. Peace with God. Jesus Christ come to give us the hope of peace with God. In verse number 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. They can be at peace with God. In the 5th chapter, in verse number 1, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans, the 5th chapter again, in verse number 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were his enemies. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We can now have peace with God. There's nothing like knowing that one has peace with God. That is right in the sight of God. And that's, having peace with God is not just some subjective feeling of tranquility. You know, some people express, they know that they have peace with God because they feel that peace with God. But peace with God is based upon an objective knowledge that he has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ that he might have peace with God. I don't know what your mindset might be. Trust because you are here tonight that your mind is set upon fulfilling the things of the Spirit. And it's spiritual things that are your goals in life. Not the acquisition of money, not the accomplishment of great things to build your pride and ego. But that it is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve in those spiritual realms, to bring glory and honor in his name so that in all that you do, you seek to glorify him. That should be the mindset of each and every Christian. But we need to recognize that people who are thinking according to the flesh, you know, sometimes we say, well, why can't people understand this? It's because their mindset's according to the flesh. They're not thinking on a spiritual plane, not thinking on a spiritual level. They're interested in things of this world, things of the flesh. Those, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Our minds must be renewed. We can become subject to the law of God. Great blessings that we have in Christ. Being free from sin. And having life and peace because we think upon those spiritual things. But the warning ought to serve to each and every one of us that we need to constantly renew our minds. We need to feed upon the words of the Spirit here. That we do not allow that fleshly mindset to begin to take control and dominance over our lives. Why is it that we're always concerned about people studying God's Word? People attending Bible classes, people attending worship, and so forth. One of the reasons is so that that spiritual mindset can be made stronger, so that the things of the flesh do not surface and begin to affect the life that the Christian lives. The spiritual mindset, that should be what each and every one of us seeks to fulfill, to build and strengthen the life of each and every one of us. What's your mind set upon this night? Is your mind set upon doing each and everything that you possibly can to please God? Or is it set upon accomplishing your own goals, things of the that seem important to you, which perhaps are things of the flesh or things that bring pleasure to the flesh? My prayer that each and every one of us will seek to do each and everything we can to please God. If you're not a Christian this night, you're not living that mindset under that life that would be given as a result of having the mindset of the Spirit. Won't you repent of it this night? That's what repentance is all about. Turning to the spiritual, turning to God. If you need to do that this night, we pray that you'll do so. Or if as a Christian you've allowed the thoughts of the flesh to gain control and you've been seeking that as your goal and purpose in life, won't you repent of that and respond to the invitation? The invitation is extended. Will you not come while we stand, while we sing?